I have some merch on.
Digging it.
I ordered James something that did not come in the right size. I ordered the wrong thing.
What are you trying to say?
No. I'll order one of our hoodies
from the tent maker.
I did not mean for that to come off like that, I swear. That's what I love about these, man. I want you to put your hands together. It goes to the neighborhood.
And welcome to the stage. Big round of applause. It goes to the neighborhood.
Welcome back to the Smokescreen Podcast, episode 61.
Man.
Damn, we're rolling.
Yeah.
We're rolling again, man. We did like the first.
61.
Yeah, we did like the, you got a sports number. Everyone needs to have a sports number, I promise.
That's what
you.
They say at work, too.
Every time.
Every Friday we do invoicing.
Oh, I mean, you're the stats guy.
Okay, help.
Hey, this is the original daily use of sports trivia over here.
That's right. I got to get back. Talking about dust
hey,
on the throne.
We got
damn.
Three cameras set up now coming. You got an overhead.
Yeah, man.
And we can set that up. It's yes. easy now. But anyway, we're gonna kind of wrap up. Maybe not wrap up. Right where we could come back to this. I'm sure. Convicting a murderer.
Yes.
Making a murder, all the drama the last few weeks, the good and the bad and the ugly and all that good stuff. The last episode was last week, and it's been kind of a whirlwind.
It has.
First, let me thank today's sponsor, Vagisil, for another two.
Hold on. We actually have a real sponsor this week.
Oh, that's right. We actually do. We have a real sponsor. We've made it.
We've made it to the big time. We're moving on up
to the east side. We do. Thanks to Ewan Racing for sponsoring today's podcast. The chairs that we've been sitting in for 61 episodes.
Heck yeah.
And probably what?
Over 8 years.
Yes, over 8 years. I was saying that, though.
I thought you were busting my balls.
I know. No, I've been sitting in them, too, for my solo videos for all those years because Ewan reached out to me years and years ago. I really love the chairs. I will say this. I don't take sponsorships. In the old days, I didn't either for stuff I don't use.
Right.
Or don't actually like.
That's right.
So James knows I've sat in these chairs. We have two for the podcast here. There's another one sitting over here off camera. Yes. It's just literally the best chair for the money, for the price point. They look great. They hold up great. I've had these for, God. That one over there is still, I mean, it's, you know, the cat's claw that one a little bit.
Yeah.
But it still holds up. It still works well. I've had it from, God, it had to be 2016.
Yes, 2016.
At least.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the old blue and black one. People remember that
They'll
one from Twitch days.
One, yeah.
Absolutely. So we've got these for the podcast. And, we have another chair off camera that we got we raised a lot of money for charity.
That's right.
It looks great. It's just not as comfortable. You have lumbar support back here. We can slide up and down. You have the little pillows back here. I'm trying to talk into the microphone. The adjustable things, they come in a box. Everything's together. White gloves included. You put them together in 10 minutes and voila. And
your set changes and your tables get higher.
That's right.
The little shock absorber
on this
thing
table,
holds
we
my
lower
fat ass.
Them way down on the desk over there where I stream on Twitch and do my regular kind of videos or whatever. I'll raise it all the way up. I mean, it's just, it fits everything. They look good. They're good for gaming. They're good for office chairs, all that good
Let's
stuff.
Let's talk about this.
Yes, yes. The very important part, their Black Friday sale starts November 7th for 20% off. But we have something better. If you use the code SMOKESCREEN in the checkout process, you will get 30% off. They do not do that usually. It's usually 20 max for their sales.
Yes.
We're giving you 30% off on their website if you use the code SMOKESCREEN. So that link will be in the description below and probably the pinned comment as well. So check out ewanracing.com.
Great savings.
It really is. It's a big chunk of change off of a pretty expensive office item. So that'll save a good chunk. Damn near half off.
Yeah, man. That's awesome.
So really thank you. Thanks again to Ewan Racing for sponsoring today's podcast.
Thank you.
Very Ewan. Cool. Real actual sponsor.
Real sponsor.
I'm so proud. So proud. Anyway, so convicting a murderer. We'll get back to Vagisil.
Yes.
They'll come back. They always do. Really quick. I gotta mention just real quick. We have some merch. I have some merch on.
Digging it.
I ordered James something that did not come in the right size. I ordered the
what
wrong thing.
Are you trying to say?
No. I ordered. I'll order one of our hoodies
from the tent maker.
I did not mean for that to come off like that. I swear. That's what I love about these, man. I really didn't know an extra large hoodie, and I accidentally clicked small.
Oh yeah, that, yeah.
So my girlfriend has the hoodie now. It's a very nice hoodie, by the way. I got James a notebook.
Yeah,
we got notebook because we take notes, you know, for podcasts. I thought that would be cool.
I love the notebook.
We got coffee mugs downstairs, all that good stuff. So we do have a store that's in the description as well.
Absolutely love the notebook. But I just left it.
Just wanted to mention those couple housekeeping things, that, and then we're going. You know, we have Patreon as well for people who want to support the podcast. We're going to start doing some little like extra exclusive stuff, 5-10 minute extras on the podcast for behind the scenes, and obviously we're going to start releasing those early again as well. So. All that will be in the link in the description, in a link in the description is what I'm trying to say.
Speaking of loving a notebook, I love the notebook, the movie, too.
Yes, I do, too. It's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I know you like rom-coms, for sure, but you. I actually like the notebook.
Nicholas Sparks stuff. I can't get enough of it.
I know. He's such a classic romantic,
no.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just weird. I don't know what it is.
Oh, shit. Anyway, So the last few weeks have been a little crazy, kind of unexpected. You know, we covered Making a Murderer back in 2018, I believe it was.
Maybe.
I think that's when we did. We did a podcast originally, and we did an update. So we did two back in the day. Just, you know, we cover everything on here from Flat Earth to we did How to Speak Southern. We did...
Yeah.
Making a Murder back in the day, history, mystery, true crime, all the fun stuff we just enjoy.
And any cool documentaries we see?
Yeah, we did
do a podcast about
a lot of true crime stuff. I mean, it's just a podcast.
Tiger King
was fun. That was fun. Insane. And you turned me on to that as well. So we did that, and then all these years later, we hear Convicting a Murderer is coming out, and it's this official rebuttal. From Daily Wire, who ended up, you know, being, you know, Sean and Brenda we had on, and, you know, Daily Wire acquired that, and that ended. So that's been a big thing for the last 10 weeks or so as they aired all the episodes. I guess 7 since they released the first 3, something like that. 7-8 weeks.
And for me, it wasn't like I was dying to see, you know, somebody crap on Making a Murderer. I was just hungry for more content.
Yeah.
I was like, let's go watch this. And, you know, if they do show anything, it'd be cool. But if not, I would have watched it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. We just knew how crazy that was. And it was like, we're definitely check that out. Because we're just a podcast. We talk about things. We're not researchers. We're not official. Like, we talked about Flat Earth. We didn't go pull out NASA documents. We just talked about it and gave our opinions.
Just, you know, we always wanted a podcast that was like our porch conversations.
That's it. That's literally it. The best ones have not been recorded.
Yes.
Just sitting on the front porch.
And, you know, for me, I don't know. I was always curious about why did their appeals keep getting denied. There had to be stuff I had never heard, you know, so maybe this documentary will show me, because like you said, it's not like I'm going to dive down the rabbit hole so deep that it consumes my life.
That's
and
right.
Take in every single document and everything, you know, so we loosely
followed it. And then you remember back in the day, you know, you're not really on Twitter. You got an account, but don't really use it. I've always used it to tweet out stuff for videos and all that, but you know, we followed Zellner and all that stuff, and we kept up with some of that stuff when she would file new appeals, but we didn't think about any more out of it, really. We just kept doing other podcasts. I mean, it's not just a true crime podcast.
From time to time, I would say, hey, has Zellner tweeted anything?
Yeah.
And you would read me the latest one that she's tweeted or something.
Yeah, for the latest appeal that's fell through or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, this comes about, and we, like, you know, obviously we want to revisit that, so we watched it, and we both said... There ain't nothing they can say.
Nope.
Ain't nothing they can say to change my mind. These people were set up. They're innocent. At least a new trial, at the very minimum, because there's no way you got a fair trial. And I still believe that, by the way.
Right.
No matter what the evidence points to. But, you know, then we started getting, you know, our eyes open. You know, we were all fooled. And people saying they're not fooled are crazy. And I'm not talking about even the innocence or guilt. I'm talking about the documentary itself.
Yeah.
They edited testimony. They moved around answers. They used shots to make people look different. I mean, it was pretty eye-opening. They went deeper into Stephen Avery's history. And we said, look, yeah, well, he's an asshole. We always said that. But they showed you kind of the real guy who had this history of violence and women and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, again, that doesn't make him a murderer.
No.
But it certainly supports, you could say it supports it. Somebody's got to do a first one sometime, you know, if you're going to go down that psychopathic path. But anyway, so we did the podcast. It kind of blew up and lots of, no, you guys aren't, you know, really investigating. No, we're not to that degree. Mm-hmm. We're just doing a podcast about it. So an opinion is just an opinion. Like everybody's, it's like an asshole. Everybody has one.
Yeah. I don't think, could I be wrong? I don't think we have any obligation to go research and double and triple fact check everything and vet everybody that we talk about or talk to or whatever.
That's exactly right. It's a podcast. We let people say what they say and we don't interrupt them. We're not rude. I think people wanted us, for example, when Brenda came on to just start arguing.
Yeah. Challenge every single thing. Yeah.
That's not what we're not going to ever have another guest if we're just argumentative the whole time. That's just dumb.
And she was super pleasant. Really
very
cool.
Very polite.
And why would I want to do that? That's not my personality. For one, I'm not really confrontational.
Right.
But if she said something that I totally thought was just crazy, I'm not going to say that. You know, it's just not that kind of person. And that's what scares me. Because we have entertained, you know, the idea of trying to have two people of opposing opinions on here. But, you know, first off, I don't want to have a platform for somebody to bully somebody else
or
insult them all the whole time. If they could have a real clean, you know, debate.
Yeah, I'm certainly, and that's what we talked about. I mean, I'm totally down to, you know, like moderate something like that. But they have to be intellectually honest and want an honest, friendly debate or about the evidence or whatever they want to talk about. But not this shouting matches, not where you're so dug in that you can't even hear all that kind of stuff that we're seeing in some of these comments and stuff is ridiculous. I mean. It's not getting good faith, and so that's the problem. You don't really know, you know, who you're getting. But I'm still definitely open to something like that. It's just a matter of who that is.
Yes,
and I'd love to do something like that if we can, you know, again, guarantee it's a friendly debate and a real conversation as opposed to some argument or shouting match.
Yeah, and we totally understand that you know, people can butt heads and stuff. So I'm not saying, you know, they can't like have a disagreement.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know. I guess it's based off of some comments I've seen that
a lot of comments.
They just make me feel like they want us to just attack our guests.
Well, that's exactly what it is. And what I wanted to say about that was, let's say for example, Brenda or either Christine we had last week, who was also in making a convicting
a
murder.
She was great too.
Both outstanding. And you know, she reached out, wanted to tell her story because it wasn't completely covered, in convicting a murderer. And, you know, she read the same papers, the same files as everybody else. And both of these ladies, they've read all this stuff for years. Specifically Brenda, you know, I know she's been in it for a long time, but Christine was in it for a long time as well on the other side as a supporter. So it was a very valuable insight to have on somebody that's changed their mind based off the same evidence. So when you read case files and documents and affidavits, all that stuff, and you come to a different opinion, that's all it is. It's a different opinion.
Yes.
It's not misinformation if you think one way or another. It's just a different opinion, and people are scared of them. And it's just absolutely insane to me.
That's right.
How they can't see that. You read the same stuff. You came out with a different opinion, but somehow you have the moral high ground on this side or whatever. And the other person is just lying.
Yeah. Because both sides think the other side are making these huge leaps. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't understand, you know, why it's got to be considered lies or whatever. Now, a lie to me is if somebody absolutely knows something to be one way and they come on here and say it another way.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure.
I don't know these people. I don't know what they know. So when they say something, I accept it. You might see me go, wow, cool, or whatever. You know what I mean? I'm not dying to go, challenging them on it. And I think that's what we're expected to do. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and again, it's a small, there's a lot of comments that, they think one way or the other. I do think he's guilty. I've always thought he's guilty. Or I still think he's innocent. But there's, this select few of you didn't do proper research. It's a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing peer-reviewed studies here.
No, if I had to have them cite everything they say.
Right, that is completely.
Who's going to want to come on here?
No, you're not. No, we're not that. That's something else. If you're looking for that, go somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's a whole different channel. I mean, that's a podcast. We don't have a Jamie over here pulling up. Hey, Jamie, pull up that, document exhibit B-17.
Exactly.
We don't have that, and nor we plan to. I mean, we'd like to have a Jamie someday.
That would be awesome.
That would be cool to have a Jamie. We do actually, speaking of that, we have three cameras set up over there. It's really awesome, James got. And so we'll, probably the next podcast, I'd imagine, have three cameras.
One of these days, you'll see. It's going to be
We're going to have the main camera and then, a Chris cam and a James cam. We got all it ready, so now we actually fuck with that and get it looking better. Because, we got other stuff to see in here.
Yeah.
And maybe keep people watching a little longer. But yeah, these are just meant to be fun conversations about stuff that we're interested in. That's really all it is. And again, we're totally open to somebody coming on that. James disagrees, I think, to some degree at least. I mean, I don't know why this is so controversial.
I don't either.
The difference is James is not over here telling me I'm wrong, and I'm not over there telling him he's wrong.
No.
We may have a conversation about it.
Yeah. And
we have on this podcast.
And talk about, this is why I believe that, and that's why he believes that or whatever.
Right.
I mean, it's, I don't know. Like I said in the last podcast where I said I think it's just a gut feeling I have.
You said it was a gut feeling off hearing Stephen Avery speaking, like, go in there and search the trailer. There's nothing, you don't have to find anything.
I have a gut feeling reading him that he's not a guilty guy. Now I know that my gut feeling holds no weight in court. Right. But it has navigated me through 50 years of life. I got all my fingers and toes still and both eyes.
Right.
I feel like my gut feels
contrary to what you were warned about as a
pretty
kid.
Cool. pretty good so far.
Right.
Call me lucky. But yeah, I don't know. It's just a feeling and I could change. I'm waiting on that one big thing either way. I'll also say something that really bothers me is if you remember on the first season of Making a Murderer, when the sheriff says he's on the stand, I can't remember. Again, I'm not an expert on this, but I think it was some preliminary trial or preliminary hearing or something.
Right.
And Stephen Avery's attorney is trying to talk to him about something, about Stephen's prior release from prison.
Right.
And he said, and you thought you had the right guy that time, right? He's like, yes. He's like, but you found out through DNA that you didn't. And he's like, no, I'm not convinced of that. And so the fact that will not admit that.
I think that was the prior sheriff in the deposition or something.
He had just recently retired. If he still cannot say, DNA evidence has proven Stephen's innocent.
Right.
Then that tells me something's a little weird there, man. And I just say that's what weighs in a lot to me when I
start
thinking.
That's the thing, though. We've talked about this between me and you. You said, like, it's a gut feeling, and he sounds innocent. And I said, well, okay. But there's a lot of people who claim they're innocent who are guilty in the history of everybody that's been convicted. And that's it. We're not arguing. He's not yelling at me. I'm not yelling at him. Mm-hmm. It's just a disagreement. That's all. Mm-hmm. And there's certainly, I've said this the whole time, we're pretending like it, that I'm believing every single thing, that, convicting a murderer or the pro guilt movement or guilters or whatever. I agree with every single. I don't agree with all that. There's still a lot of questions. They fucked up a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah.
We talked about earlier before we started. We were talking about whether to do this or not. Why didn't they take them? We don't know technically if there were any DNA in that trailer because they didn't take the mattress. Why? That's stupid. They fucked up their case not taking that mattress.
Yeah.
Because there very well could have been a little spot of something that leaked through, but they didn't. I can't explain that. It doesn't, but that doesn't, you know, make all the other stuff just disappear. All the other evidence that does point towards him, to whatever degree, or Brandon, or whatever you want to choose.
That's what I'm saying. Like I still say, you know, she was never in there. The only thing that puts her there is Brandon's story.
I guess if you consider the dog sent on the back steps. But yeah, no, it's weird. But we said that back in, God, forever ago. It didn't happen the way they presented it.
Yep.
If it did happen.
I can't count the times we've said that.
It's just what it is. And I think that's with every case. I think, you know, when you look at true crime and you know, the court of law, everything is an opinion. And it's just a bunch of opinions stacked on top of each other that lead to doubt or no doubt.
Unless you have a smoking gun.
Yeah.
Somebody caught red-handed, smoking gun.
That's what lawyers do. They get opinions from people who are considered experts. They appeal to authority. That's what they do. So they have an expert who's a forensic pathologist or whatever. They give their opinion based off their experience, and that holds more weight than, say, me. Mm-hmm. If I was called as a bone witness or something. Clearly, they have more experience, but it's still, at that point, an opinion, and that's up to a jury to decide. All those opinions, you know, in tow, and they can have all those opinions together, nice and neat, stack on their deliberation table. They can go through all that stuff and what they heard and listen to every call and make that decision.
There have been people who have been sent to prison on the opinion of, like, a forensic odontologist they're looking at a bite mark.
Yes.
And then guess what? They get freed on another opinion by another forensic odontologist who disagrees.
Exactly.
Later, a few years later, you know, and it's like,
that's what I said in a lot of comments.
Pretty wild,
man.
How that works.
That's what I replied in a lot of comments. You know, this piece of paper doesn't make it fact. The fact is, there's something on that paper. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody typed it, somebody wrote it.
It's somebody's opinion,
it's an opinion,
and it carries a certain amount of weight. That's up for the jury to decide.
That's right.
And you're going to have the public opinion of that opinion,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't have to end in fist fights. So weird.
It really is. It's very similar to Flat Earth. It's really
well. I likened it to Scientology.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Somebody changes their mind a little bit. It's like, oh.
Now, you know, again, so to go back just really quick, because you know, we're defending the people that were nice enough to reach out to us,
yeah,
to be on our podcast and chose us for whatever reason, because they were very nice and cordial, and even, you know, before we started recording and after, very nice. It was not like we edited things out. The only thing we edit on this podcast is a bathroom break, or like if there's a long pause, because James will go.
That's a fact, though. I do.
No, but like long, you know, mm-hmm. dead silence, the dead space.
But
that's it. There's no editing.
I told both of them that I'm on the fence. I lean towards their innocence.
Yeah,
they never insulted me.
No,
and we know how both of them feel. You know,
right?
They may now behind my back say, you know, that one guy on that podcast is kind of crazy, and that's okay. It really is. But again, she's a nice person. They're both nice ladies. Like I said, we don't vet every one of them. We're not going to hook them to lie detector tests or anything. We just have conversations
knew that she was the producer in docuseries,
yeah.
And we knew that Christine was in the docuseries,
mm-hmm.
So we knew they were, you know, involved to that degree.
That's right.
And so that was enough for us to go, yeah, that's cool. So, you know, their first podcast comes out, Daily Wire picks it up and retweets it, and quotes you, even though I'm blabbing,
that
running
so
my mouth
funny.
The whole time.
I love that.
And at the very end, James says
say one little sentence, I know. And they quote it.
It made me feel bad. Like, I was just sitting there running my mouth. I just talk too much. I know I do.
I loved it.
Anyway, and then James.
And I don't even use Twitter. That even made it sting worse.
I know. I told you, got to get on there. But no, it's fine. We know what it is. It's fine. It is what it is. But people are passionate about it. That's fine. But we're not gonna have somebody on that's just here to argue and you know, they're not here in good faith to really hear another opinion.
That's the main thing. In good faith.
That's all I care about. I don't delete comments on my YouTube videos. I never have. I've never deleted any comments. Some comments won't make it because they'll put a link, and so YouTube automatically puts those in like held for review, and people will say, you deleted my, no, I didn't delete, you put a link or something like that, or maybe a hashtag or something before there were hashtags in those days.
Right.
I've never deleted a comment. I welcome open, honest debate. I'm all about the First Amendment, and I know YouTube's a private company, but that's mine. On my videos, I want all things to be open and honest. In our podcast, we want the same thing. We want just cordial debate. That's it.
I may misstate a fact sometime.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean I'm lying.
Right. There's a difference. There's intent there.
Yeah, intent. That's how you determine if somebody's lying or not.
So this whole thing about, you know, we're just purveyors of misinformation. Well, no. Who's deciding what's misinformation? That's the key. You're deciding it's misinformation, whoever, random commenter. Right. It's literally a podcast about whatever, because we don't have people on our, I don't know, moon landing video telling us we're liars because we believe they made it to the moon.
Right. And
it's so, so odd.
I'll be honest with you. Like I said earlier, when I left Making a Murder, both of us, I'm going to speak for Chris now, we could not stand Andrew Colburn.
No.
I mean, seriously, I feel like if I would have seen him on the side of the road broken down, I would not have offered any help. I might have flipped him off, laughed at him or something.
Right.
I don't know. The guy, really, I did not like him. But like I told
Kratz,
you.
Maybe physically attacked. I don't know.
maybe egg his ass.
I mean, something.
But I'm telling you, I honestly told Chris, I feel like, why wouldn't you want to hear that person's side of the story?
Right.
I had that much, you know, emotional involvement. You know, I needed to hear him say it. And even if after he said his side, if I said, oh, bullshit, he's a piece of shit, lying SOB, even if I said that,
yep.
I wanted to hear his side of it, because he's basically the devil as far as I was concerned.
Right.
And, I'll be honest, after I heard him talk and explain some things, I thought, okay, that makes sense to me. And I can't help if that pisses some of you guys off.
Right.
It's not like I'm jumping ship or anything. I mean, none of us have a dog in the fight.
We don't.
I'm not related to anybody in this or have any kind of relationship with anybody.
And as a matter of fact,
I honestly feel like he was convincing.
Yeah, just to add to that, you know, we both, regardless of Steven, think Brendan, to some degree, was led in that confession. And judges agreed with that. I still believe that. That doesn't mean two things could be true at once.
That's right.
Steven Avery can be guilty and roped him into helping him clean up or whatever, and maybe saw a body in the fire. And Brent... see how this works, and they could both, and the cops were so desperate for answers they could have led him into a confession.
That's right.
It both can be true.
Absolutely.
It's just the way
that's right.
The real world works. There's nuance, like we said last week.
He could be left-handed and clean up with his right foot.
I know. I saw that too, man.
I'm sorry,
like,
whoever you are that said that.
No, somebody said that in a comment, and it was immediately struck me because I'm right-handed, and I've always kicked, as they used to call it, goofy foot. Well, I guess goofy foot was right-footed on a skateboard, right? I kick with my left. I've always kicked with my left. Whether it's kickball or football, whatever.
My dad's left-handed. and he's a right-footed kicker.
But it just shows you that these leaps in logic, these kind of mental gymnastics people will do.
I know that's the norm, though. I'm not saying you're wrong for thinking that way. I just wanted to point out that don't bet your life on that, because
just like the norm is we have 10 fingers, 10 toes, some people are born with 12.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make it – it's just the exception to the rule. But one thing I wanted to say is very important for me just to put out here. When people were introduced the same way to this case, most people, obviously people locally like Brenda heard about it before making a murder. This is the problem with a lot of the so-called teams, right? The two arbitrary boxes we're supposed to be put in. You're introduced to this whole case and making a murder. You're very emotionally hung up in making a murder. Then you decide, hey, I'm going to look into this. So you start digging up case files. You start digging up affidavits and all the files, the official documents, right? What are you going to do and look for, even if you don't think you are, because you just watched two seasons of Making a Murder? You're going to probably lean towards the stuff that makes him look innocent.
Yeah, you look at a piece of evidence and see it through those glasses.
That lens. That's exactly my point. You're going to see it through that lens. So the point I was trying to make is that, and then all these years later, now the emotional shit's gone, and I've stepped back and watched this new one. It opened my eyes to, wait a minute. It's going to be really hard to do all this stuff they said was done. Really hard. And then how did this happen and blah, blah, blah. So I think that's the big difference with a lot of people who are, you know, they investigate this case. It's their hobby. It's their whatever. That's fine. But remember how you got introduced to it. You got to separate the emotional stuff from, you know, logical thinking in some aspects.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I wanted to say. Because if you wasn't introduced to making a murder that or this case for making a murder. And you don't think that you're leaning that way already with that confirmation bias, then you're crazy. I mean, you're lying to yourself.
Yeah, it's very rare that somebody is able to step back.
It is.
And I know there are people who are capable of
Christine
leaving, making a murderer all emotional about it,
right?
And then go research and not.
Yeah,
and really, truly be open.
I mean, think about it. If somebody, for example, let's say they've never seen, you know, Making a Murder, there's people out there who don't like true crime that much. Maybe they haven't seen it. They watch it tomorrow. They watch the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. And then they start researching online. What are they going to run into? All the Reddit threads about how he's innocent, all the so-called truthers and all that. That's what they're going to gravitate towards. They're still emotionally charged.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to look at any other thing that says, no, he did change his story. They're not going to listen to that or even see it, probably.
Yeah, it'd take quite a while.
So, I mean, I just want to throw that out there because I think that's important to point out for that people don't think. Just think about how you're introduced to it,
mm-hmm.
and then think about where you hung out online.
Yeah. Just to finish my point about Coburn, I just want to say.
No,
it's all right. That's the way we do this. I say that he seemed genuine, convincing to me doesn't mean that you watched it and still think he's full of crap. I'm okay with that.
Right.
Again, it's just my gut feeling when I watch him, and I'm really watching, and I'm watching his body language. Now, did they edit it? And, you know, just like Making a Murderer edited his body language, who knows? I'll find out later, I guess.
Yep.
But, you know, just hearing him talk, and hear the what happened to him, I can't help but feel bad for him. And if you'd stop for a second and go, if he's telling the truth, then that's sad what happened to him and his family.
It is, yeah, right.
If he really didn't see her license plate and, you know, called it in exactly like he said, if it happened exactly like he explained, which does make sense.
Yep.
Then you have to go, and if the call that came in to the jail, if it happened exactly like he said, then you have to say, which again did sound logical. Now, could it still be the other way? Could it still be he neglected to share this information, found out later that it was Stephen Avery, or knew then when the call came in that it was Stephen Avery and decided not to kind of, you know, squash it or whatever? Then I understand that is there's a possibility of that. But but what I'm saying is people judge people differently, and you have to go with how you feel. And I just personally felt like I kind of let him slide a little bit in my mind. I went from hating him to kind of feeling sorry for him.
Right.
And I still am not sure that there wasn't something dirty about the freaking key. And he was in that group of three that found it. So I'm just saying, I know that sounds like I'm all over the place. Look, I'm still weighing out all this stuff. I'm still trying to take it in. And because now I've been introduced to another 10-part docuseries that kind of made me look at things a little differently.
I mean, and you know, that's again, it kind of goes back to personality and stuff too. Like you admit yourself, he's the conspiracy nut. He really is.
I don't know if I'm a conspiracy nut. I enjoy conspiracy theories and reading about them and watching them and things like that.
I'm using the term loosely, but he's the guy that's, you know, on between us two that's going to be leaning that way on any topic. I think that's fair. Is that fair? Maybe it's not.
Maybe.
But, I mean, just based off our conversations and podcasts and moon landings and all that stuff. Yeah,
but I think I'm just, I'm a critical thinker.
Yeah, no.
And if it doesn't pass the eye check and the gut check, I will question it.
Which is very overlooked, by the way.
I can't help.
Like the Jordan debate. The eye check. The eye test.
Yeah.
It's so overlooked.
It is overlooked.
It's overlooked.
But now I can't help that my opinion on a certain topic links me into a group of weirdos. Like, I can't help that there's a bunch of other people who feel the same way but really are out there. It makes me question myself sometimes, but that's the thing. I'm always trying to look at things from all angles, and I will change back and forth on things.
And that's the thing, there are real conspiracies out there. There absolutely are. I mean, we've talked about JFK.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about, you know, moon landing and all that stuff, but
9/11
is a big one. You know, I firmly believe that Oswald was not acting alone.
I do too.
There was reasons for that, though. It's a whole different thing from, in the sense of the reasons why in that time period of the country and political, all that stuff. But yeah, so there's absolutely conspiracies. There have been in the past that have come to pass. We do a podcast. We talk about all kinds of crazy shit, just random stuff. Sometimes it's just stuff like, you know, how to speak Southern. It ain't real serious. Dude. It ain't real serious. It's not like we leave here and then we go, you know, do research and link, link documents and sources, and we're just talking.
Yeah, because we both feel differently about Bob Lazar.
Yeah, but that was another.
We know that it is an interesting, no matter how you fall on that, it's interesting to listen to those things, watch those documentaries, listen to him get interviewed.
I think that's our biggest podcast.
The Lazar?
Yeah. I think it's got 100-some thousand views.
Man.
And that was another, 4 years ago?
Yeah.
That was still, and then, you know, every time he comes back on Rogan, well, I don't think he's been back, but Jeremy Corbyn comes back on Rogan or something else comes out about him, that kind of gets another spike, you know. That was a huge one. It was so popular. You said Joe Exotic versus Stephen Avery, death match.
That would be a good one, wouldn't it?
I wouldn't know. Yeah, I'm gonna give that one to Joe.
I think so.
I'm putting money on Joe.
Yeah, his limping ass.
Yeah, he wouldn't be limping then for some reason. That adrenaline would take care of it. He's too damn crazy.
The mullet versus the beard.
The mullet versus the beard. He'd go fucking Hulk mode.
You said, you know, two things can be true at the same time.
Yes.
I don't really want to get too hung up on this, but like the Earl Avery situation.
Yeah.
He can have bad things happen in his own past.
Yes.
And still be able to have an opinion about his brother.
And right.
Should be allowed to speak his mind about that when asked. When somebody brings a camera into your house, puts it up and asks you questions, and you tell the truth, or you know what you think to be the truth, because he's
right
still kind of on the fence, but you can tell he leans towards his own brother's guilt.
Yeah, and you don't have to think he's a good person,
no,
to get his opinion. So that was a comment I saw was, you know, Cam's peddling pedophilia. Like, okay, how do you come into that conclusion? Yes, you have Earl and Chuck who had horrible records. It doesn't mean, again, based off this story, that you can't get their opinion on something. It's just wild.
And I'll be the first to say I don't know his complete record or anything, and I don't know the deep details of what he's done. I heard him on Convicted of Murderer say, I have my own past.
Mm-hmm.
I've paid my dues.
Yep.
You know, that's what I heard. So I assume it's pretty bad.
And apparently it is. And
based on,
again,
you know, comments I see. Yeah, it must be really bad.
Nobody's defending him. I don't know. I guess I guess they had a problem when Brenda said, you know, Chuck, I guess Earl's a good guy or something like that. I think that was a couple of things too. But, you know, she knows him personally.
Yeah.
You know, I guess some, you know, maybe, you know, is it possible that somebody could change? Maybe.
I hope.
I mean, I don't
like
know.
To believe so.
I mean, I think everybody gets, you know, second chances, right, to some degree. I mean, yeah. I don't know exactly either. I know it's supposedly bad, but we're not talking about, you know, Earl and Chuck Avery.
Right.
You know, we're talking about a couple of things they said or saw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a whole different conversation. So, yeah, it's just insane. It's like everything, man. There's just no nuance in anything anymore. It used to be people talked, and you didn't ask, like, who'd you vote for?
I know.
Before we had a conversation about, you know, I don't know, Tiger King. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, it's absolutely insane. It's been, but look, I'm thankful for, I think it was very cool the last few weeks and the last few podcasts. I'm really thankful that, you know, Daily Wire saw our stuff and thought, you know, we were fair enough to have the director and producer on. I'm thankful for Brenda for coming on. She wasn't sure, you know, she wanted to be comfortable and not be attacked, because she's been attacked in the past from people online and stuff, and as well as you know, Christine.
Yeah.
This girl went from a full-fledged, you know, truther, and I'm air quoting here for anybody listening on audio only, and now believes he's guilty based off of her, you know, her stepping back from the emotional aspect and looking through at the case, the same files, the same mm-hmm. everything and calls and all that stuff through a different lens. And she's left the club, so she's really under attack. So
yeah.
It's just, it's insane to me.
And if the people from Daily Wire are going, you know, I'd like to get some more eyes on this,
yeah,
this show,
sure.
And they reach out to a bunch of little podcasts and go, hey, would you like to interview somebody to try to introduce them to our audience or whatever,
right?
And then we go, hey man, that might help get some eyes on our own podcast. Like,
yeah,
who blames anybody for any of this happening? It's so weird.
I'm not gonna apologize for that.
I'm not a shill for the Daily Wire.
No,
but they came to us and asked. If somebody else came and asked us to interview somebody else, we would entertain that as well.
100%. I mean, yeah, we're a podcast. We want to grow and talk for a living. That's what we enjoy doing.
Yep.
We enjoyed the hell out of it. And, you know, we always have, you know, said we don't want to get controversial and political and whatever. We don't. But if it is what it is. I'm also not going to run from it. You know, nobody, you know, it's like, but, you know, you expect that. You're online.
Yep.
You know, you put
That's
yourself
right.
out there. There's going to be naysayers and haters and whatever it's gonna, whatever you want to call them. Joe Rogan has people who hates him because he has people across the political aisle that they don't agree with on his podcast, so therefore he's a right winger now. You know, it's just, it's insane, because he wants to actually just have a conversation with people, maybe get their perspective. How bad is that?
And he has a good variety of people on there,
yeah,
from all walks of life,
all
kind
of
professions
life.
And everything, and but yet, I mean, if you say, hey, I was watching Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan.
No, him, he's alt-right.
You lost me at that, you know.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk about David Blaine.
Any
it's like, what the fuck? The David Blaine dude.
David Blaine. Yeah, no. I mean, that's ain't that insane? Just think about that, though, right?
Yeah.
You can't, after you say, I saw it on Joe Rogan, then everything after that is just ignored. Just you picture I'm picturing the fucking teacher from from Peanuts.
Oh, yeah.
Wah, 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 wah. That's all they hear.
Wah, 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 wah.
I was picturing, I'm sorry. I always picture him missing
it's
the football.
It's true, though. It's true. It's terrible that it has to be that way. Because I feel like I don't care. It could be somebody that I don't like. If they're interviewing somebody that I do like or I find interesting, I'll watch it and try to learn some cool stuff, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what you do to grow, you know? Yeah. If you want the full story, look, we know that the media is slanted all different ways depending on what channel you're or whatever station or network you're watching. You want the full picture, you watch the other side. I mean, it's true somewhere in the middle,
and,
usually.
Yeah. And yes, there are people pushing agendas, but if you literally think that everybody is pushing some agenda in every conversation they have,
right.
I don't know, man.
It's very odd.
I know you say I'm a conspiracy theorist, but man, I'm not that paranoid.
No. I didn't. And believe me, I did not mean to lump you in with that level.
That's all right.
I don't mean that at all.
Yeah.
I just meant like as far as our podcast in the past. You know, you'll tend to lean towards, I think something did happen where I'm more of the, you know. But, and that's fine. That's what makes it great.
Yeah,
that's what makes
it
great because we can disagree and I'm not going to
think so too.
Shout James down and be argumentative and come on here and say he's wrong and blah, blah, blah. It's just, I'll take it for what it is and we'll move on.
That's it.
And some things we'll come to an agreement, some things we won't. That's what makes it good, in my opinion, you know. And of course, I'm biased. Of course.
You know, this has had me watching a lot of other channels.
And, yeah, for sure.
You know, different sides and different takes on things. And I don't know. I feel like there are people making a lot of huge leaps.
And, yes.
And I don't know that I hung around long enough to see if they backed them up or, you know what I mean? So
right,
I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But again, it goes back to that gut feeling thing. I you can't stick around long before they all start just sounding paranoid and I don't know.
Right.
Like we've mentioned before, we've dealt with some clicky type situations.
Sure. Yep.
And there's that kind of feeling. And I would bet that people come and go because they fall in favor of the click or out of favor with the click.
100%.
And why would you fall out of favor with a click?
Yeah.
If you disagree with something they say, that's what I would guess. And, you know, so I feel like,
yeah, I mean, there's something that the clique is formed around.
Yeah.
And it's usually an opinion on blank.
Yeah.
Political,
and if
whatever.
You do your own research and you come up with something a little different that falls outside of the narrative of the clique.
Right.
You'll either get ostracized or you'll leave on your own. I don't know. It kind of felt that way.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
I'd like to say that I'm wrong about that. I'd like to. I really think it'd be cool to extend an invitation to somebody to come on here and tell us why.
Yeah.
Everything that we've put out in these last two podcasts is absolutely wrong. And,
right.
And I'd love to listen to it.
Sure.
I would. And I know this has to sound wild to people because I honestly, as I sit here right now, I lean so hard to the fact that they're innocent. And yet here I am. You know what I mean? I sound like I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't think this has been a secret either. In the last two, with guests who were on Convicting a Murder and produced Convicting a Murder, you've literally said in the podcast, I'm still on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you can help me. Maybe by the end of this podcast, you can change my mind. Whatever.
Yeah.
It's not like it's some secret where we're like pro guilt thing. It's just a podcast.
That's all.
But I mean, in our own little two-man podcast show, we have disagreements.
I mean, and what I hope doesn't happen is all of this doesn't make me hate something that I really am interested in.
Yeah.
You know, because I do. I'm really interested in making a murderer. I'm really interested to see how the legal process unfolds with these two guys. You know, I know Brendan's kind of exhausted his options.
He's out of options, yeah, man.
Unless the Supreme Court changes their mind and says, well, okay, we'll listen.
Yeah, well, I think he's done. Type thing. Yeah, unless he gets, like Christine said, there could get that, what's it called?
Alford
plea, potentially, but yeah. But, I mean, you know, let's just take one thing, for example, like the Colburn call, right? So if you have, you know, verifiable information that, you know, as far as, you know, people what facts this and facts that, verifiable information that he was in that church parking lot, for example, when he made that license plate call, like you said, sounds plausible the way he explained it. But now, if that, let's say that's absolute truth, right? That's verified, it's factual. He was sitting there when he called in on the cell phone that was assigned to his vehicle because they said they got new cell phones and he didn't want to put it over the air, right? Because at the time she was still a missing person.
Did a GPS put him in that parking lot?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's just my next question.
Right. That's a completely valid question. Okay. But we know that he did arrive at the Zippers 2 minutes later, right?
Got you.
That's the point. So essentially GPS, but yes.
I got you.
So now, where was the car?
Right.
So now what I'm saying online is, do you have any evidence the car wasn't in the parking lot? You see what I mean?
That's kind of what I was talking about. Yeah. They make these leaps. Yeah.
The mental gymnastics to now, okay, so you kind of had to concede that point, but there's always another what if. Mm-hmm. That you could always go down.
Yes.
And that was the point Christine was making last week. If you keep looking at the tiny little things, there's always going to be small inconsistencies with what people saw during this time or whatever, you know, trying to remember back especially.
Oh, yeah. That would be hard.
If you stay on those little things instead of stepping back and going, how likely are all these things? That's the difference, I think, in kind of thinking.
Yes.
So now that's been verified by a truther. Now the car was in the parking lot too, at the church, in front of everybody across from the Zipper's house. So that's the leaps and kind of, I was saying, mental gymnastics.
Yeah.
So we were talking about the same thing, apparently, or at least thinking of that example.
Yeah. I don't get it. Because you can what if
everything
to death. And, you know, the defense and the prosecution, aren't they both, or is it just the defense? Like, who gets to vet the jury?
Both.
Pool. Both. They get to say, that one goes. Okay.
Yep.
So if they're both involved in selecting the jury and multiple juries, I mean, because you got to say, a jury would have a hard time putting a 16-year-old kid away for that long.
Right.
Like, how, either you're saying like his defense was completely incompetent, which I know that one guy, he thought he was guilty and didn't defend him well. I got that. But he did try to get his confession thrown out.
He did.
It's not his fault. The judge said no, it stays. Yep. But
the worst lawyer in history, plus Kelly being the investigator.
But I know everybody thinks the cops and the local government are all in cahoots and everything. And right. Like I said, I do too, to a degree. But it's the juries, man, that throw me. Like, I can't see 12 people. Like, how was it not a hung jury or something? They had to see something very convincing, more than just his confession.
Well, also, if you remember, there was a juror who had a medical emergency. That could have been a hung jury, but the defense chose to stick with that. He could have got a new trial right then.
Now, is that Stephen or Brendan?
Stephen.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Dean and Jerome chose to go with that one. And the other thing about the jury selection, remember, there was talk
about
moving.
They went with 11, not 12, right? Or they went with a substitute.
Substitute. Okay. Yeah. But you remember also about the location, because we agree, Kratz is bullshit. I don't even know what you want to call it.
Press conference.
His press conference. Yeah. It was a fucking, you know, here's what happened. Get the children out of the room. All that stuff. So they were talking about, you know, moving it. Like you said, how far did those news stations go? But the defense argued to also keep it there because they wanted some sympathy for the previous conviction. So they chose that. So that's... you know, you can't just say, well, they chose to stay there because of his, they wanted people in the community who felt sympathy for him being previously convicted wrongfully, and rightfully so. So,
and
people miss those little things, you know.
But I guess one of the last things I would like to cover again is Teresa.
Yes,
I do.
Gets lost a lot.
It does. And a lot, and I don't care what anybody says about how making a murderer did not affect their opinion or anything. Because I know, we know how we felt about her family.
Yes.
And that was not fair.
No, not at all.
And I say that, I'm not including her ex-boyfriend. And I know, because I still think he's a little shady. Now, I think his shadiness kind of does rub off on her brother some. I think her brother being put up as the spokesperson for the family.
Yep.
He was young. He was nervous. He's emotional. I mean, Lord, something horrible happened to his sister.
Yep. And that's another thing, too, I hear in a lot of things is like, and sorry to get off. But this is kind of... like you'll see people say he didn't seem that emotional or whatever. So people grieve differently, and sometimes they grieve later.
Yeah,
when something tragic happens.
And I'm guilty of feeling that way.
Yeah, same.
I felt like he doesn't seem like somebody who is dealing with that.
But sometimes you kind of you're swallowing it and got a stone cold face because you're trying to hold it back. I mean, you don't know. People grieve differently. Especially in trauma, I can tell you a cool little, not a cool, but it's kind of a cool story, I guess. My uncle, he was in Vietnam. He got shot down, his whole platoon, and he distinctly remembered, he told us this story, going through this rice paddy in Vietnam, getting shot up. He literally had the scars to prove it before he died. Biggest scar I've ever seen. And he saw a friend of his fall right in front of him and yell out his name, and he started laughing. And he says he has no idea why.
He started laughing.
And in the middle of a firefight, his friend he just saw got his shit blown up, and he reached out, yelled his name, and he started laughing, and he has no idea why. It was just in that moment. You can't explain that.
I know.
So
I can't. I feel bad. I can't say whose, but me and a buddy of mine busted out laughing at a funeral one time.
Yeah.
And, I'm glad because it was really sad. It was a really, really sad funeral we were at. And, we made a joke. It was one of those jokes where something is said and you add to it, I add to it, add to it, keep a joke kind of running and everything. And it got so ridiculous that we both were laughing and we walked out of the funeral home.
Right.
I felt so guilty about that, but honestly, I needed that laugh.
Right.
I think, like you said, you don't know how you're going to respond to something. And
So that whole thing, anyway, I'm sorry, that was a sidetrack, but yeah, you can't just judge how somebody's on TV in the middle of this when he just lost his sister. I mean, think about that. We were pulling for this other family to some degree and rooting against the family who lost their daughter and sister and everything.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And saying her mom had crocodile tears and all this stuff.
Because they're in on it.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I guess. I mean, there's all those stupid outlandish theories too, you know. Still alive and they're in on it and just the craziest shit, man.
And I'm not trying to virtue signal, and because I all of a sudden my eyes have been opened and I don't feel like shitting on that family anymore. But I do feel bad about it.
That's what we've been saying, is that, you know, we were duped, and we were, you know, getting involved emotionally, and you're yelling at the, like you said, yelling at the TV,
mm-hmm.
And they painted that light on him and the boyfriend and the cops and whatever, and we fell for it because
mm-hmm.
it was a documentary. It was supposed to be completely truthful,
and I think people have tried to dig up Teresa's past and
mm-hmm.
make her look
yep.
like, you know, what good does that do? What good does that do in making Stephen Avery innocent?
Nothing. Not
That's
a damn
just
thing.
Piling on.
It's petty. It's petty. You know, she took certain kind of pictures one time, so now she's blah 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 blah. It's just absolutely yeah. ridiculous. It does nothing, but it reveals your character. Mm-hmm. It's what it does. Online, the keyboard warriors, you know. But, you know, anybody's welcome. Look, anybody's welcome to get a camera and a microphone and do a
that
podcast.
That's right. That's right. And that's what everybody needs to remember.
If you're doing it wrong. Yeah, right. Because, look, that's the thing. There are people who do Stephen Avery / convicting, making a murderer podcast or YouTube channels. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we do. That's what they do exclusively.
That's right.
And that's fine. Mm-hmm. But we don't. We're just a podcast. We talk about all kinds of shit. Yes. This is just the
things we find interesting.
That's it. So
we hope you do too.
So yeah, those type of channels, but you know, again, if they're doing that as their channel, that's their niche. They should be going to detailed evidence stuff if that's what they want to do, is go through the whole case. I mean, that's what they're claiming to do.
But if you've built your channel on Stephen Avery's innocent, and all of a sudden a new series comes out that says, hold on a minute.
are you just going to agree?
Yeah. Now your whole identity's tied up.
I told you it's flat earth.
Be honest.
I told you.
Be honest.
Exactly. I told you it's like flat earth because, and I know I keep saying that, but It fascinates me that otherwise fairly intelligent people fall for stuff like that. And the charlatan, there are charlatans who lead these big channels, and they're the leaders in all these conferences and stuff like that. They get paid. They make a living doing this. They cannot leave, but most of them do not believe this stuff.
Right.
But they can't say, they can't leave the truth. You know, they're the I think it was well put in a documentary I watched about it. The mayor of the Truman Show. You can't leave.
That's right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, yes, I mean, something comes out that, you know, destroys everything that you've been building up. You're not just going to go, you know, I was wrong the last 4 years.
Mm-mm. And what your viewers go.
I mean, that's the facts.
I will not be held hostage by viewership.
No. That's no. That's just a damn. Can you imagine the depression pit waiting to happen? That's just depression waiting to happen. Anxiety. It brings enough anxiety.
Yeah.
YouTube world and clicks and likes and shares and views and
you
subscribers.
Can truly obsess over it.
Absolutely. But yeah, that's the thing about the freedom of a podcast like this is we're not talking about convicting a murderer every single week or Stephen Avery or Teresa Hallback. We're talking about all kinds of stuff. I mean, we were about to do literally last week about to do the Mandela effect.
Yeah.
We want to talk about the Mandela effect. We're going to do that. Just to moving on to the next thing. We think it's an interesting phenomenon. So we'll be doing that. I've already got a list on my phone.
See, I've always thought it was called the Mandela effect.
Mandela. I'm trying to. Oh, wait a minute. So CERN,
yes.
Fucking changed my reality. I don't remember Mandela. I damn sure grew up with Fruit of the Loom Tidy Whiteys with a fucking cornucopia.
I did too.
I'm telling you.
I know.
So there's some conspiracy here, man. And apparently somebody on TikTok can take an old Nokia phone and look back in the other dimension. So
I literally remember going, Mom, why is that basket shaped like that?
I think what everybody learned, that's what everybody learned that. Well, no. You know what? I just had a thought.
Mm-hmm.
I did not learn cornucopia from that. I learned it from Thanksgiving stuff.
Okay.
So, see, memory. Mm-hmm. We did a memory one. Mm-hmm. We did a memory podcast.
Yes.
They're starting to get smashed in there and running together.
So that's where I learned it was from that. But
or is that just where you think you learned it?
I have a pretty good memory.
Because, you know, remember,
I kind of remember the bedroom I was standing
yeah,
in.
Yeah, remember in school, though, you do the paper cutouts and you do the Thanksgiving, you decorate the mm-hmm. walls and I guess this would be kindergarten age.
You do the turkey with
you
your
do
hand.
The turkey and then you do the cornucopia and the different vegetables and shit. That's where I remember doing that too. So, anyway, we'll talk about that on the Mandela Effect podcast, perhaps episode 62. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, that's all this is. I don't know where we're going with this.
I don't either. I was just thinking of how old we are. Yeah, I remember our class doing one little, two little, three little Indians.
Yes.
We're going to do the pilgrims and the Indians, and half the class would do the little paper hats with the buckle.
Yeah. You know,
and half would
staple.
Have feathers and stuff on the headband.
You had the feather in the headband with a staple in your forehead. That's always where it ended up scratching
always.
You. Absolutely. But yeah, I mean...
And that would never happen today.
No way, man. Are we got something
I'm good.
Else?
I feel good. I really do feel good. I feel like this will stir them up again.
Yeah, yeah.
We're
I
just
mean,
fucking poking the hornet's nest.
That's fine. I mean, but look.
I love it. I mean, we're being honest. That's all we can do.
That's all we can do, and that's all we ever intended to do. I mean,
we did a whole podcast on his innocence.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
That's right. I mean, two.
Yeah, why too. Can't we?
And I did want to say the Zellner thing just for an update.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Zellner tweeted out a new judge, and then I'm forgetting his name right now, but they named the new judge. The way she tweeted it was big Avery news, new judge approved or whatever. But I saw the responses. You know, yay! You know, free Brendan and Stephen.
I do feel like that is good news.
Yeah, I mean, to some degree. But you know, again, she requested it, so they're acting like that she filed something and requested, which they have forever. But the own judge requested it for caseload balance
or
something.
I didn't take it that way. Yeah, I didn't.
I mean, I didn't.
I took it as a new judge is a good thing. And she's saying no objections here or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah,
and I truly believe that the judge is doing the right thing and saying, you know, get another judge in here.
Yeah, but I mean, will it make a difference? Who knows? I mean, that's the thing. You know, we got a couple supposed witnesses from Zellner, right? And then, but they got to have their day in court. They got to have an evidentiary hearing. That has so far not been granted for whatever reason.
Yeah, and that is weird too, you know.
But I mean, is it the establishment, you know? You know, all the judges just because the federal establishment didn't agree, but then the whole, you know, thing sent it back. So in Brendan's case, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So some judges don't agree with the establishment, and I think that's clear. So it makes you know, so we'll see. But
on those little scenes where they would show, they did this appeal and this judge said no and rejected by this judge, this judge. It was the same judge a lot of times.
Yeah.
So yeah, new
but
judge.
But I'll tell you
there.
What, it was interesting to learn though from Brenda that, you know, she did order some investigations. So it's not like they're just saying no to everything. They're doing active investigations. Remember, I think it was the computer thing where they're, you know, Stephen claimed in his own appeal, right, that they were listening to him in the jail.
Mm-hmm.
And they did an investigation, the judge did, on that. And they determined, no, the reason they went and got the computer is because of the IMs between, Marie and Brendan, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason they went, got the computer, and then Stephen sent his own lawyers to get it first. Which is Barb's computer with all the, you know, the so-called Bobby computer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that was just a little factoid, though, you know, that they were, at least, Judge Angela was at least doing something investigating some of these claims.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I don't know who they use, who they hire, you know, you could say they're just another part of the establishment.
Of course,
whatever,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean.
But it's not like they were just going bullshit. You know what I'm saying? That's all I mean.
But if you're going to investigate, and I'm doing that same, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Wink, wink, go check that out.
Yeah.
If you are doing it that way, it's not much difference.
Yeah, because you know? I'm sitting there saying that attorney-client privilege is absolutely under his constitutional rights, and I fully support that, no matter who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I fully support people to say what they want to say because of the First Amendment. You know, you can say you have to support the worst speech that you can possibly imagine.
Yeah.
So it's not...
And it sucks.
It's the way sometimes. It is. But that's the difference between us and the rest of the world.
It is.
Is you have the right to say so. Now, again, there's also consequences to that.
That's right.
But people have the right to say it, and you have to defend it. Otherwise, it's not free speech anymore. It's selective speech.
Right. Now, I mean, you know, slander, libel, and all that kind of crap.
Yeah, sure.
Like you say, there's consequences.
Correct.
So.
And boycotting things and whatever. Yeah. Sure. But people have a right to say it. Anyway, are we good, I think?
Yeah.
We'll just we'll skip the comments. We'll just keep. I mean, I've replied to most of them, I think, anyway, to some degree. There's a lot of good conversation.
There is.
I haven't even seen how deep some of those go on the some of those threads. But anyway, yeah, we'll leave it out there. You know, as far as somebody coming on who still believes fully in innocence and all that stuff. It's got to be somebody that's, you know, and like do a debate between two different parties or something.
That would be cool.
It would be cool if it's actually a good faith argument.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be. Otherwise, it's just a screaming match, and I'm not editing a screaming match. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And we do know that, you know, that we'd have to put aside a good chunk of time.
Yeah.
To let everybody get their points out. And,
yeah.
You know, this person may ask a question, and this person might have to take a minute to look something up.
Yeah.
So,
but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Maybe there'll be some, you know, with the new judge, like you said, maybe there'll be some new movement, you know, that'll bring all this back up, and we'll see what happens. But anyway, again, thank you guys if you made it this far. I don't know how far, about an hour and a half. This is about a normal podcast.
Yeah.
And something like that. And again, thank you to Ewan Racing for sponsoring today's video. Badge of Steel, we'll see you next time. So if we're all set, we're good.
Yeah.
We'll let it fade to black.